Welcome to the Spirit Talk Podcast, your home for spiritual awakening, cleansing, and motivation. I'm your host, Michael L. Pearson. So why don't you sit back, relax, as we quiet the flesh and let the spirit talk.
On this premiere episode of Spirit Talk Podcast, I want to take the time to introduce my followers, a very intelligent, spirit-filled, kind-hearted, and emotionally sound woman of God who has joined us today to discuss her new venture into ministry with Slow to Speak. She is a conversationalist, a friend, and a minister. I am honored to welcome today, which is going to be a treat for all of you guys, Miss Chanel Mapp. So, Miss Chanel Mapp, how are you? How are you? How are things going for you?
Well, hello, Mr. Michael Pearson. Thank you for that introduction. I appreciate it, and I appreciate you, and I am well this evening. How are you?
Oh, I'm great. I'm great. I'm doing great now. Finally ready to get this fourth season of the Spirit Talk Podcast kicked off and going, and no better person to do it with than to do it with you. I know the listeners will get an earful today. They are definitely going to get an earful today. We have been putting this together for quite some time now, and this won't be the last. This absolutely will not be the last. We'll be doing many, many other things together. So there's a lot we have to talk about, a lot we have to discuss. So let's just jump right into it. Okay, so Slow to Speak, and that's pretty much what this episode is about, Slow to Speak. This is your calling. This is your give back, I like to say, your give back to the world as far as God doing his work through you. So explain to the people what Slow to Speak is all about.
So Slow to Speak was birthed in me, and it has to have been a long time coming now. Everything in my life has prepared me for this moment, and I didn't actually know it at the time. You know, I've always been told that I talk a lot in school, you know, get phone calls. Chanel talks to a lot, she disrupts class, and you know, and but you know, you never know how God is going to use the thing that you thought was an annoyance to be a gift to bless others. And so during this time in my life, I literally had to be slow to speak. And it first became me, to where I had to learn how to hold my tongue and be a good listener. And not that I would dominate a conversation anyway, but it was as if now there's so much going on in my life where I need to hear what's going on around me because of the message on the inside of me. And God did this thing. Like I had no idea. I just woke up one day and he had me to write down a vision statement, a mission statement, values to stand on. And then he gave me the name Slow to Speak, and then took me to the scripture where it says to be quick to listen and slow to speak. And what he's actually saying is that there are so many people that are in need of somebody to talk to. And he confirmed it with me that during the time when he gave me this, that same week, like I would hear at work, I would hear people say, I heard one girl say, oh, her best friend died and she wished she had somebody to talk to, that she can't talk to anybody else. There's nobody that she can trust. Then I went up and down my timeline and it was coming in my stories where people were saying, I wish I had somebody to talk to and I need somebody to talk to, you know, because God will always confirm his word.
Yeah, confirmation.
Yes, and that's how it went. And it was like, you know how you get something and you feel something on the inside of you that you need to be, you're unctioned to do it. You're unctioned to make it. And I felt that, but then I don't want to say that I was leery because I know how God deals with me, but I wanted to make sure that it was him and not me.
Absolutely.
And so everything just started falling into place. And so he gave me conversationalist. So when I looked up the definition of a conversationalist, I was blown away because I was like, Lord, that's me. Like, I'm a conversationalist. Like, I love to talk to people, but I love to listen also. And it just blew my mind. And so that's where I am. I'm a licensed ordained minister. So I'm not claiming to be a counselor, but I can counsel, and I feel like I have enough life experience that I can offer advice or insight and a safe place for somebody to be able to sit down and conversate with me to get off of their heart and off of their mind things that are weighing them down, that's affecting their everyday life. And I'm running into people left and right, but I'm also running into the stigma and the fear. And that's a place where I am so passionate about our community. And when I say our community, I'm talking about the African-American community, changing their mindset when it comes to their mental health.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I am 100%. I understand exactly what you're saying, and that is so incredibly important. So let me ask you this in relation to that, in relation to what you just said. What do you think is the biggest concern, you know, in our community? Like, what is the biggest concern for us in relation to getting the help that we need in order to make ourselves better and more productive people?
Well, first, I think that it begins with ignorance. I feel like it comes from a place of not knowing, having any knowledge or understanding of mental health, therapy, and counseling. I think that it has just been passed down from generation to generation.
Mm-hmm.
Community to community, that Black people don't get counseling. You don't tell nobody your business, what happens in your house. So we are left to suffer in silence. And then we're left to be broken people meeting and breaking other people. And so I think it's ignorance. I think that it's a lot of fear. I think people are so afraid of being judged. And somebody going back and telling their business. And I think that stems from it has happened to them before. They trusted somebody with something so personal, you know, and they opened up and that person used that against them. And this is not that. Like, a counselor and a therapist and what God has given me, we sign papers of letters of confidentiality. So it's just like going to the doctor's office. We can discuss what happens inside of that session outside of the session because it's legally binding.
And absolutely.
So that's what I want. I want people to understand is that the same way you go to the doctor for your physical health and you're not afraid to go and bear everything and get up under that gown that you exposed in the back and you ain't never met a doctor, or, you know, you just read reviews about them, but here you are naked in front of this man or this woman, and this is their expertise, but you are trusting them with your life.
It's absolutely
the thing is that if you can go to a bar and you can conversate with the person that's sitting next to you and you can tell them about your day, but you can't come and sit on a couch in an atmosphere that is conducive for healing. Because right there, you talking over alcohol, there's no, like, you releasing, but what are you receiving back?
Absolutely. makes complete and perfect sense. Now, I want to touch on this. I want to touch on this because when it comes to healing, and as you mentioned, therapy, counseling, a conversationalist, I think they all kind of go hand in hand. Difference being only this. A therapist does a particular thing to help people with certain mental constructs. Mm-hmm. A counselor provides a large degree of mental health assistance. Mm-hmm. A conversationalist. Mm-hmm. And you tell me if you agree with me on this or not. A conversationalist sounds like to me a person who taps on therapy, taps on counseling, but is under the authorship mm-hmm. of God.
That's it.
Which makes a conversationalist more than able, more than capable of healing a person's spiritual needs from A to Z, whatever that is. Because at the end of the day, I believe everything that we experience, even though it may manifest in a form of a need for therapy, or it may manifest in a form of a need for counseling, at the root of it, mm-hmm. it is a spiritual disconnect, some form of spiritual dysfunction.
Yes.
And that is what you allow people to come to you and share that part of themselves. Like you said, a beautiful analogy. When you said, you know, they get naked and that the gown is open in the back. Well, when a person comes to you, it requires a certain degree of spiritual nakedness.
Yes.
But you offer a place that is safe for them to do that. So let me add, I want you to create the atmosphere from the time a person arrives through the door. Create an atmosphere. What does Slow to Speak offer by way of atmosphere to get a person into that mood where they're, you know, where they're comfortable mm-hmm. with being spiritually naked?
Okay. So once you arrive, well, the first initial contact with me via I have my phone number, I have my Facebook, my Facebook where you can contact me. I'm on Style Seat, but the first initial contact is with me, where I will call you back or you will reach me by phone or by email. And the initial contact is, this is who I am. Mm-hmm. Like me all day, every day. And it's authentic. And I'm not mm-hmm. like anybody else. I don't try to be like anybody else. This is the heart that God has given me. This is the spirit that He has put on the inside of me. And the atmosphere I create is one where it's peaceful, because I've never been a gossiper. I've never been a tale teller. I have never been one to take information from this person and go and take it to mm-hmm. this person, because I know how that feels. And mm-hmm. so I feel like I have even myself needed to have somebody to listen to me and to have a safe place where I can, mm-hmm. Not where I'm looking for solutions to my problems, but I'm looking for a safe, peaceful place where I can feel comfortable, where I can feel like I can undress all of my thoughts, unpack my bags. And, you know, sometimes people are going through some stuff that you like, okay, so you just gonna pull them dirty drawers out the suitcase?
Yeah.
You know, and where you not looking at them, judging them, because you got some dirty stained drawers too. So, so when you come to Slow to Speak, I have a private office. I have it set up. It looks like you are walking into my living room. Candles mm-hmm. are lit. I have praise music playing low so that it's not like you have to speak loud, you know, to mm-hmm. be mm-hmm. We sit down and it's wherever you want to start, whatever it is that you want to say. And once mm-hmm. people start opening up their mouths and they feel the freedom in speaking, it is amazing what you hear when you listen to understand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that is the season that God has me in, listening to understand. And they say, well, are you going to say anything like when I come? So is it just me talking? Well, no, I'll say something when I'm led to say something. But in this, you need somebody to hear you, because I've been there, you know, where I need somebody to hear me. Like, I'm talking, but do you hear the words that are coming out of my mouth? Do you hear pain behind it? Do you hear the desperation? Do you hear the agony? Do you hear the confusion? Like, I need help.
And you know, one thing I can tell you now, and I know you know this. I know you can attest to this, but one thing I can tell you now that I know for sure, whether male, female, child, whatever, everybody wants a safe place for themselves, no matter what the issue is. Everybody wants a place where they can feel safe. Now, that's why I thought what you did, Chanel, is what you're doing is so incredibly important, because now if we look around, like, there's not a lot of places that could be considered safe. There are some people, married couples, children in homes, and they're not in a safe place. They're not in a safe environment. So to offer that, to have that available to people as a safe place to come and also have a conversation that is being that's confidential with a person that you can trust, with a person that's going to give you some wise counsel and some wise feedback, that is absolutely 100% priceless. I mean, that is incredibly priceless. I want to know, of course, anytime you take on, okay, let me say this, because I'm this is the elephant in the room, and I know if people ain't thinking it, I know they ain't gonna see it, but I know they thinking it. Even for a man, right? This is a task to have to take on. I think whenever God calls us to do something, He doesn't call us to do something where we jump straight up on our feet, full of anticipation, and run straight after what it is that He's calling us for. When God calls us to do something, there's always this little hesitation, right? Like, there's always this area of unsurety, maybe. Remember when God told Moses to go in there and, you know, get his people out of Egypt. First thing Moses says, listen, I'm not eloquent of speech.
Yeah.
Oh, Moses was kind of, you know, he was kind of on the back pedal a little bit, like, wait a minute, hold on, because the enormity of the task, God knows what He puts in us.
Yes.
So His request is valid. We may not know, but we have to go through in order to get the understanding that God has placed something in us that allows us to do this. So let me ask you this. When it comes to challenges, to get to the point of where you are now, what would you say is the biggest challenge that you had to overcome?
People. My biggest challenge, I had to overcome people and how people saw me. So with this, to whom much is given, much is required.
Mm-hmm.
So anytime you are a minister of the gospel, I believe you have to bear your soul. Like, you have to, like, there is nothing secret that won't be revealed, nothing hidden that won't be uncovered. So it's like, because if not, the enemy will try to use that against you. And so you have to be comfortable in who you used to be and the things that used to do, right? You have to come to a place where you forgive yourself, that you don't hold yourself in condemnation anymore, so that the enemy won't be able to bring up anything from your past, because you are ministering to people so that they can go into their future, right? So the enemy always try to remind you of who you used to be, what you used to do, how you used to act. Oh, I remember Chanel when she used to do this, and I remember. So that was overcoming the fear of people, because have to stand 10 toes down before these same people who knew me back then, right? And so I had to say, if you are not speaking of me as if it was a couple of seconds ago, You don't know. And I had to get over the fear of people and what they thought, and maybe, you know, people from my past bringing up issues from my past, moments from my past. So you literally have to be free from your past and forgive yourself for, and because God has forgiven you, especially if you ask for forgiveness. So if God is not going to hold it against me, I'm not going to let a man or a woman hold it against me.
Absolutely. Amen. Amen to that. Now, here's the elephant in the room that I wanted to touch on, because I've been involved with church enough to know that sometimes this can become an issue, especially for women. Was there any hesitation on your part about moving forward, not just with, because slow to speak is your thing, right? That's your thing. But moving forward in ministry, considering the, what I perceive, I'm not going to speak for nobody, I speak for myself, what I perceive to be a unfair imbalance between what a woman should be able to do in her calling and what a man should be able to do in his calling. Was that ever a concern for you as you were, you know, as you were feeling this call and being drawn into Slow to Speak and, like I'm saying, and ministry in general, was that ever something that was a concern for you?
Personally, no, that was, honestly, that has never been me. And I can say because my relationship with God is so personal that I know how he deals with me.
Absolutely.
And I know what he has called me to beyond a shadow of a doubt. And I know that if I am not obedient to his call, I fear him more than I fear any man. What they think or what they think that I can do. Because I can tell you this, that even if you tried to close my mouth and God put a word in my mouth, there's nothing that you can do to hold it closed, because God is going to have his way, even if you had to move you out the way. So I have never looked at or been held captive by religion. And because God is so great and he is so bigger than all of this, all of these rules and regulations, that once you come to him and you go to the throne for yourself, it's like you push past, just like the woman with the issue of blood, you push past everybody in the crowd to get to him. And that's how I feel. I feel like I will push past everybody in the crowd, that if somebody is going to sit me down and shut my mouth, it's going to be God, and he knows how to do it.
Absolutely. Yes. Yeah. And that's a testament. That is a testament of you and who you are. And not only that, it's a testament of your calling and your obedience to, because as I was preparing for this episode, the one thing, the word that kept sticking out for me in pertaining to you was obedience, because the listeners will never know. They'll never be able to understand or know the totality of this path or this journey, even though you're doing an excellent job telling them everything about it. They'll never be able to see it, understand it in the same way as somebody that has watched you push through, watched you turn, twist, fight, navigate, you know, show obedience. So they'll never be able to obtain it, but exactly what it is. But I tell you what, I can vouch for you in the fact that the one word that sticks out is obedience. You are unrelenting in your obedience and in your calling and what you feel that he has called you to do. And not only that, you execute based on the obedience. You execute. So that is a huge testament from just who you are, just as a woman. But we talked about obstacles, and we talked about things that may get in the way. So I want one more thing I want to talk about here real quick before we move on to the next thing is fear. Was there ever any fears associated with taking? Now, I know there may be fears all through, right? I know there may be fears all through, but I want to know that first step, right? Was there any fears associated with taking that first step? And what was that fear?
Yes, there was that fear was, God, is this you?
Mm-hmm.
That was the first step. Because, you know, you never want to step out and say that this is God and that ain't God. Like, you know,
right,
like,
right. Never, mm-hmm.
You never want to lie to him. And he like, no, I ain't told you to do that.
Yeah. Yeah, I get it. I totally get it.
But I have learned early on is that God will always confirm his word because he knows that, you know, we have questions and he knows that, you know, he knows our heart. Like he knows that there is some anxiety there. He knows that mm-hmm. there is a level of fear there, but he knows how to calm that fear and he does it through his perfect love. And
absolutely. Like,
he loves us so much that even if he whispered something to us and you like, okay, who was it that, was that Samuel? And he kept going to, who did he kept going to? And he kept saying it was the Holy Spirit calling his name. And he told him, go back and say, here I am, Lord. Who was that? Was Samuel, right?
I believe so. Yeah, I believe so.
So that's it's like God will whisper something to you, or he will put it in a dream, or he'll have you write it out, and you will write it out. Mm-hmm. And it'll come to your mind, and it won't leave your mind. And then he will send confirmation after confirmation after confirmation until you say, I know this is you. Like, it's like once you come into agreement with what he has said, it's like it's full steam ahead.
Yeah.
You stepping and you don't even know you walking on the water until you look down like Peter.
Absolutely. Yeah. <that's, laughs> Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. Perfect analogy. Perfect analogy. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That makes total sense. I get that. I really do get that. That makes perfect sense.
Yes.
So it's just a little bit more here, just to get a very, very good understanding. So is the goal, slow to speak, is the goal to lead a person from point A to point B? If so, what is point A and point B? Let me make sure I'm asking that question correctly. So are we dealing with sadness, brokenness, broken hearts, suicide, depression, anxiety, and are we leading people from that into their healing?
Mm-hmm. So it is the soul of a person. So it is their emotion, every aspect of their emotion, from their highs to their lows, from their fears to their anxieties to their it's everything dealing with the emotions of a person, the waves that we go through, and getting a person to a place of calmness where they know how to ride the wave instead of going under with the wave and afraid that they're not gonna pop up. That's what I give people the analogy is that the wave is gonna come crashing, right? That it's not gonna always be a calm sea in our life, but waves will come crashing upon us. But we have to know that we are not in the sea alone, that God is in there in the midst with us, that when the waves come crashing over us, we're gonna go down, but we're gonna pop back up. So you're gonna have to learn how to take a when you come back up, but you're gonna have to know where to go, like, because you're gonna pop up and you're gonna lose your sense of direction. Because you're not going to be facing east no more. You know? You're not
right, right.
More. So you're going to have to know which way to go. And I feel like what God has placed in me is point them to him. Because their and their deliverance is not through me. But I am just a vessel. And I am just a beacon of light that will lead you to the source. So, you know, just like we have to train up a child in a way in which they should go, that when they are old, they will not depart from it. It is the same thing, because like you helped me with this, that we are dealing with childhood issues, you know, not with, forget everything else that comes along, but train up that child, like, because people come to you and they are like literally sitting before you, and it's like a parental exchange. It's like they want to hear, well done. They want to hear it's going to be better. They want to hear,
absolutely,
how do I get out of this? They want to hear, how do I stop having these thoughts? Where do I go and where do I run to? Because, you know, I can say that my phone is open 24/7, but I may not answer all the time. But if you call on God in the name of Jesus, he's going to answer you.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So that's
absolutely
the point B. And I pray that people, you know, it's just not a one-time thing, you know, but because what I've learned is that deliverance is ongoing. Like it's never ending. It is ongoing. Like we need to be delivered from stuff daily, because creep up on you, and it's like daily that you have to lay burdens down, that you have to train your mind and your thoughts. It's a daily process. It's not just a one-all, be-all, wham, bam, and thank you, it's over. Like, you just to a one session and slow to speak, and now, oh, Chanel is talking about my problems.
I think that's where people get, and I'm so glad that you're saying it, because I think that's where a lot of people get caught up or get confused. They anticipate that in a couple of sessions, they anticipate this idea of being cured, when it's never about being cured. It is more so about being able to find yourself, find those issues, those things that exist within, and then healing those issues, so that as you move forward and encounter these highs and lows, or as you said, when the storms come through, that you are better able to navigate them with a better sense of mental health. So I'm so glad that you said that, and that you put that that way, because, and something else that you said I thought was major, major, major. When you say it's really like a parental exchange, and the things that people need to hear, you'd be shocked. And I know you, well, not you in general, but the average person would be shocked that some of the, we would consider some of the most minuscule things that we would say to a child, adult people have been dying to hear them all their life, been dying to hear, been dying to know that it's going to be okay, that it's okay, that your effort was noticed. That I see you, I hear you, in the things that you said, what you put on display, I hear the pain. That, so a lot of times we just want to hear that and know that there's somebody else who can listen to us and understand what we are saying, not in word, but in the expression of our heart. So, I am so incredibly glad that you said that. Now I'm getting ready to move into something here that is we get ready to pull one layer off. This is just one layer.
Okay.
So let's tackle one of the biggest concerns that's going on today. And I'll tell you what that is. If we take a look at today, I think we both would agree that love is a major concern for many different reasons, for both men and women. So when it comes to love, what do you think is the most concerning issue? Why are people, because I can only imagine, Chanel, that dealing with heartbreak, dealing with missed opportunities, dealing with failed opportunities, and I'm talking about just in love, that a lot of people are in need of a place to bounce some of their ideas and thoughts off of, because this love thing is like right now is bananas.
It is. It's bananas.
I mean, it is literally off the chain. So if what do you think is the we're gonna give people a little preview. Just people a little preview, because I know most of the listeners are gonna be concerned about this topic right here in general, is love. What do you think is the big, why are men and women sort of missing each other? What is the deal?
I have to stay on the foundation of the Word of God. And I know that God is love. And so I believe that people do not have an intimate relationship with Him and have experienced His love. Because there is something about the love of the Father. And He is the Father of all, creator of all. And His love is so, like, it's so undescribable that once you feel that love and He pours that love out on you, it's like He fills you up to overflowing and teaches you how to love like Him. So if we ever experience that, and I think that it, like we say, everything starts at home. I think that
absolutely.
If we are born in sin and shaped in iniquity, and if you have not, if the older men have not trained the younger men and the older women have not trained the younger women,
boy, that's it.
Then you have
that's it.
Born out of wedlock. You have people in marriages and you have people who don't know how to love. So they are not pouring love to their children. That generations is passing through generations. I think that there is so much brokenness and there is so much separation from the Father that if we get back to the Father, the foundation, I believe that everything will become new. It makes you feel like, you know, you think that this is perfect utopia, but God is perfect. Like, and He said that His perfect love casts out fear. So you won't be afraid to bear yourself before somebody else. You won't be afraid to, you know, everything that He said that love is. And is that 1 Corinthians chapter 13? Is everything that He said about love that is. Yes, it doesn't boast. It holds no records of wrong. It's not envious. It's not jealous. It believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things, and love never fails. Love never fails. But I
absolutely
use it as this word so loosely, you know, and there's no application behind it. You know, we think that it's a ring. We think that it's a moment in time. We think that it's, you know, but it does not. And so, yeah, love is that's a big one.
It absolutely is. But now I can tell you this, that people will, and I agree. I am in complete agreement with you, but people will hear this conversation and they will say it's dated. It's outdated. That's that. Now, this is what people will say, because I've heard it. They will say, that's that old people stuff. That's that church stuff. But my response to them always is this. How successful have you been at dating? Not too successful? Okay. Have you tried it? So if you're not having success and you haven't tried it, but you have in you this thing where you criticize and put what I'm offering and what we're saying now, you'll put it in a box and throw it away and say that's outdated and that's old, then I agree with you 100%. So then where do you get it from? You have to try a thing, have it be unsuccessful, and then move on. You don't get to not try it, be unsuccessful when you're not trying it, and then the very thing that someone offers to you, you want to be dismissive with it. It makes absolutely no sense to me. So, and like I said, I completely and totally agree. So do you think then that we are moving further and further away from biblical principles, and because of that, we're having difficulties even recognizing love? Do we even, and I heard you mention about the ring and things of that nature. But do after so many attempts, are we no longer even able to recognize love? Here, let me put it to you this way. Slow to speak. I'm coming to slow to speak here. If I'm doing things right, I am a man in position. I am a man who is on his mark, God fearing. I'm doing things right, but I just can't seem to make that connection. I just can't seem to find that connection. Now, this is what I mentioned earlier about the point A to point B. If that's my point A, mm-hmm. where do you take me to? What is my point B?
So then I would need to know what are your beliefs? Like what guides you? What grounds you? What sustains you? What and who do you look to? Do you look to yourself? Do you look to another God? Because I can't speak on any other God, but I can introduce you to the God that I know.
Absolutely.
And mm-hmm. I do that by my personal testimony, you know, because God said that you overcome by the word of your testimony. And I had to think about that thing. And I said, Lord, you know, if you think about back in biblical times, they didn't have cars. Had chariots, right? But they heard of a man named Jesus who was performing miracles, who was healing, mm-hmm. who was raising the dead, and they walked from regions to come in here. So that took faith enough alone to come mm-hmm. in words spoken out of a man's mouth. And yes, they heard it from prophets before, right? But that took a measure of faith that God said he has given each and every one of us already, that we already have a measure of faith. And I think that we are all in search of, right? We are all mm-hmm. in search of that love from God, that mm-hmm. we all, because we came from him. So it's something that draws us back to him. It pulls us even when we don't want to be pulled. And sometimes we will answer the call, and sometimes we will reject the call. And that's just mm-hmm. send somebody in your life to love you genuinely as he loves you, right? When, mm-hmm. when mm-hmm. he pours out love for another person and you reject that person and mistreat that person, you're not rejecting them. Like you
absolutely.
Are rejecting God, because it
absolutely.
Is chasing after you. It is him coming after you, because he said that for one sheep who walks away, he will leave to get the one. So when
absolutely.
That comes and you reject it, you don't know what you just missed out.
Absolutely.
And to stop taking it personal, you know, because rejection, it runs, it is it's a spirit that ran rampant in my family. And rejection, the spirit of rejection and the fear of rejection. And so, mm-hmm. and you just thinking that it's against you, but if it's happening to you, you have to know that it's also in you, because you're drawing it to yourself. So if I have a fear of rejection, I am drawing the spirit of rejection to myself.
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
That very thing that I am afraid of, I am attracting to myself. And so even in that instance, I am also rejecting God, because he is still giving me wise counsel in those and in those instances. And I am ignoring him. So I am rejecting his wisdom from my own personal desires, right?
So absolutely.
I mean, when I
absolutely
this last couple of months with Slow to Speak, it's like it's personal, but it's personal because it has to be like this has to come out of fire. Like this has to, because you can't stand up like, okay, so like you a man. You may know about sports. I didn't heard you talk about it. You know how y'all get real excited about it, right? And y'all know the stats, and y'all know, you know. So I don't know nothing about sports, but I feel this. You, I cannot go and try to apply for a position to be a sportscaster. And I don't know nothing about sports, right?
Right.
Stand up before the people and have a testimony or even try to talk about anything to bring somebody out of Egypt, right? And I ain't even.
I get that.
So Moses, like you said, you were talking about Moses. So Moses came from Egypt, right? So the customs, he already knew, like he knew how Pharaoh was going to act. He knew what happened when he set foot back in Egypt, because one, he ran after killing the Egyptian, right? So now he's Pharaoh. But God then sent him back. So when God puts something on the inside of you and tell you to go, it's like you if some stuff get pulled up out of you, you'll be like, oh, that was down in there.
I completely understand. Makes perfect sense to me.
And he don't send you, Mike, when you perfect. He don't send you when you're ready. It's like he say, bird, like your mother bird push a baby bird out the nest. He be like, what's go?
Yeah.
Like, let's get it. And you like, but I wasn't ready.
Yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right. You're 100% right. Because he's one thing I always say, God has, he is the creator, the designer of each and every one of us. So he knows the potential of us long before he created us with the potential.
Yes.
So although we may doubt, he's sure of what he's put inside of each one of us. So that push, although perceived by us as you know, hesitancy and an unwillingness to do, that push is still such a loving act.
It is.
Because it establishes something. Mm-hmm. You know? It establishes something in after the push takes place. But I want to add this in relation to, because I, like I said earlier, I agree 100% when you talked about Bible principles and having those things in place. And if we would just return to those simple things, because that's what it is, the simplistic things. We would just turn to those things. It would really help us along the way. But there's two verses that I say to most people, all people who are either seeking or dating man or woman. There's two scriptures that I put together I think makes the absolute most sense. One is a good man's steps are ordered by God.
Mm-hmm.
I 100% believe that. A good man's steps are ordered by God. But along with that is, he who findeth a wife findeth a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if a good man's steps are ordered by God, and if you are a woman of God, be still.
Mm-hmm.
Because a good man's steps, if he allows them to be ordered by God, if he surrenders his feet, then he will be led to what you just said. What you just said, Chanel, it was so impactful. And like I said, whenever we have these conversations, this just happened to be on a podcast, but whenever we have these conversations, they are so enlightening, because when you talked about rejection, you are not rejecting the person.
Mm-hmm.
You are rejecting that love of God that made itself available to you in the form of that person.
Mm-hmm.
And if you couldn't adhere to that, if you couldn't grasp that, then it truly is that person's loss. It's your loss. Because something so loving, kind, caring, tender, all of the attributes of Corinthians 13, all of these things, when all of these things are in place and you reject it, then the issue is not with the one who is rejected. The issue is with you, because you can't even recognize what love is. So, yeah, when you said that, but those two things, a good man's steps are ordered by God, and he who findeth a wife, because if his steps are ordered by God, God will have him. He'll find the wife.
Mm-hmm.
He'll find, because that's the loving thing that God would do for a good man who willingly submits his walk to God.
That's it.
That's the reward. That's the reward. You have to be able to get the reward. Yeah, I 100%. But I agree with you 100% on that. Now, when it comes to slow to speak, and you taking it to the next level, or moving it, because things grow, and I know you're early. You know, you're early in, and you're establishing, and you're moving. Mm-hmm. So, what in your wildest imagination, what would you think? What would you like? And I know you wait on God. I get it. You wait on God, and you move. I totally understand. But what do you think would be a next move for you with slow to speak?
Oh, Mike.
I know. Oh, I know.
From a dream that God gave me a long time ago, that is going to be so many women.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That he is going to use me to minister to and through, that it's beyond what I could imagine.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I can't even, like, my thoughts, like, I can't even think of it. Like, because I've ministered in a church before, and I've ministered to five people in a crowd, and I've ministered to, you know, the seats feel from the front to the back. But mm-hmm. it's like, I don't know which direction, because I had no idea that this would happen.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't know. Like, all I knew is he gave me the name. And then I felt, look for a space. And then I'm like, Lord, now I don't have nothing to fill the space. And then it was like, everything just falls into place with one act of obedience. Like, just with your yes, that you give God. It's like he takes that yes, and then he just propels you to the place where he desires for you to be. And it's beyond your wild dreams, because even with, so I have a group. You encouraged me to start a group on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
So I started a group on Facebook, and Mike, I had no idea which direction that was gonna go. You know, I didn't mm-hmm. know the content. I didn't know, you know, was I gonna promote, like, was it gonna be a platform to promote slow to speak? I mean, to say, but it has not gone in that direction. It ended mm-hmm. up being, I started with one morning being encouraging in a post, to that evening being encouraging in a post, to now God saying, be consistent in this, uh-huh. this right here. You just be consistent in this and obedient in this. And, you know, I don't know who is touching until people say it to me. Like,
mm-hmm.
I just know what he puts on my heart to say and puts on my heart to do. That's what I do. And so I don't know where he's going with this, but I know that it's beyond me, that I cannot do it by myself. And mm-hmm. I know that it is for people, his people, because he loves them. That's it.
Absolutely. 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 I get it. And I knew that would be a question that would not have a, it was, I guess it was more or less a question of just if you like had a magic wand, where would you like to see it go? But even in that, it's difficult to give a, you know, to give an answer for an answer to that, because like you just said, it's not something that you even imagined it to be. You're following. You know what you're doing, what I tell people to do all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of looking at worrying about the entire staircase, you're worrying about the first step, then the second, then the third. Yeah. And that is, and I will say this, honestly, I will say this to you, Chanel. The page, Slow to Speak, when I suggested it, right, I had mm-hmm. this, I won't say I had an idea in mind, but I kind of, we've talked, so I kind of knew where you were, maybe you were trying to go, but I can honestly say that what the page has become is so reminiscent and familiar to what it is, a social media offering of what you offer at Slow to Speak at the place. It is morning, evening, night. It is a place where a person can come to change the whole trajectory of their day, whether they come to it morning, noon, or night. And that's powerful, but that's also a testament. I told you this before, you were poor and you don't know it. That's also a testament of your words and how you use words and how you speak with your heart. So that is 100% reflected through your page. So let everyone know how they can get in touch with you.
Okay.
So that they can have their own Slow to Speak experience.
Okay. And Mike, until you just brought that up, I did not realize what you just said, that they can come morning, noon, or night to take the trajectory of their day.
Absolutely. Because it has for me.
Man, I just, like, that just clicked with me that's what God wants for people, is to have a place to go, because there's so much on social media. It's so much going on.
Absolutely.
There's so much going up on our jobs what I know that God is having me to do is to redirect their sight to see him in all things. In every storm, in every moment, in every situation, when they rise in the morning and when they lay before they close their eyes at night, is to see him.
Absolutely.
Present alive. And so I just but I didn't catch it, right? Because I'm just doing it.
So absolutely. Yeah.
But I thank God. But to get in touch with me, you can call me by phone, text me, area code 423-320-9275. That's my mobile. You can email me at Chanel, SHANELLEMAPP@ymail.com. Or you can go on Style Seat and search Slow to Speak and I'll come up. And the sessions are $25 an hour. So it's made affordable. And there is a magnificent massage chair that you can add to your service 30 minutes before your service, or even if you need an hour massage, depending on what you went through that day. But you add it for an extra $15 on top of your $25 session, or if you need longer in a session. And I also want to say this, that because I'm not proclaiming to be a counselor, if there is a need that you have that exceeds what I can meet, I will refer a person to where they can get the help that they need, because I don't want to see anybody leave and their emotional and mental stability is not met, because it's all about getting a person healthy. And not just surface, but going deep. So if I don't go deep enough, and if you don't feel safe enough with me, like, I will refer your ministry all day long, because I know that it is God-given, that your God is using you and the wisdom that he has given you to touch the hearts and the minds and families and marriages. That Ohio Christian Ministry, Ohio Christian Counseling Ministries, is the place to go. Mike Pearson. But this is not a selfish thing, but this is so many people in need.
And, absolutely,
you know, it's, there are people that we are called to. And I just want to be obedient to my assignment and where God has me and the lane that he has me going down, and not be worried about to the left or the right of me, but to stay focused on him so that I can, you know, so that I can do his will And because it's all about at the end of the day, if we can see the sky cracked open and see the fight that's going on in the heavenlies for a person's soul, it will make you weep and it will make you fight harder. But your fight is not in the natural. Your fight is in the spirit. And so people have to learn how to take everything within them. To God. Like, cast all of your cares on him and get your direction and get your instruction from him. That if you can follow a GPS, right? If you can put your coordinates and you can follow a GPS and you can trust that it's going to get you to your destination safely and it's going to take you around accidents and detours and get you to the quickest route, then you can follow Christ. You can follow God.
Absolutely. Amen. And they can come right on over to Slow to Speak and take them a moment to decompress and share information with somebody such as yourself who is invested in their best interest. You're invested in their well-being. You're invested in their heart restoration. You're invested in people. And that is the hallmark. That is the call of a true leader, a true advocate of God, and somebody after God's own heart. So again, this has been fabulous. I've been waiting for the longest time to do this. I think it has been extremely, extremely awesome. Of course, you know, I look forward to doing this again, and it's going to be real soon. It's going to be real soon. We'll do this again because there's other topics that we have to also hit on and talk about. But again, I appreciate you from the bottom of my heart, Ms. Chanel, for taking this time,
Mike,
and doing this with me, for me, and for us.
Yes.
Y'all reach out to Slow to Speak and get yourselves taken care of. Allow Chanel to provide for you what she's able to provide from her heart to yours, and have a restorative process to where you can walk out of there feeling a lot better than when you walked in. We need it. Without a shadow of a doubt, we need it. And she's offering it. So please, 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 let's break the stigma. Let's get ourselves the help that we need, spiritual help, mental health, emotional help. Let's get the help that we need. She's an advocate. One after God's own heart. Again, I thank you, Chanel, and I look forward to doing this again with you soon.
Thank you, Mike. Thank you, everybody, for your time.
So, how do you think you did? Were you comfortable with it? Was you cool with it?
Yes, that was good.
Okay.
I just felt like I was talking to you, like it wasn't recorded. I just felt like I was talking to you.
Exactly. That's one reason I don't like video, because video, it's possible to do video, but
this is so much about how you
right
move, you move, and if you touch your face, if you
absolutely yeah
this was comfortable.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And that's why I'll continue to do it this way, because whereas video, like on the way to work, and that's the way I'm getting ready to try and do this.
Right.
Tomorrow night, tomorrow Thursday. So tomorrow night at midnight, it should be available so that when people get up to go to work Friday,
okay,
they can put it on and listen on their way to work. So they couldn't do that if it was video.
Yeah.
Right. Or it would be dangerous.
Right.
So they can go to Spotify. They can go to Google Podcast. It's on all major podcast platforms. I haven't found one yet that is not on, but the majors is Pandora, Apple Music, mm-hmm. Spotify, and Google Podcasts. So most people have one of those four. So right. They can get up in the morning. It'll be when they get up in the morning, it'll be right at the top of day three, because I'll make sure I make sure it's that way. Everybody's going to work between 7, 8, and 8:30. So I'm going to make sure it's at the top of the three. So while they're on their way in, and I'll put the link in, and I'll send you the link to all four of those, Apple, Google, and the other one. I can't think of the other one right now, but I'll send you the link to them. There'll be four individual links. And if somebody asks, because people will ask, like, well, how can I listen to it? You don't want them to have to go to the platform and search it, even though they could, but it's much, much simpler.
Okay.
When you send one person the link, somebody may ask, that person will send another person a link. So that link moves around.
Okay.
You know, pretty good once it's given out. So I'll send you the four links once I post it up.
Okay.
And yeah, it'll be available for people to listen to on Friday morning. So okay. Yeah, I think it was successful.
I think
it was good. Definitely one of the best ones I've done, just based on the flow and based on content and based on the information. It was not rehearsed. It didn't sound rehearsed. It was just natural conversation. So
yeah,
it was huge. It was huge.
Good. I like it. I'm so happy. Because you asked some questions and I'm like, oh my God, I didn't even think about that. Like, yeah.
But see, gosh. You know what? People, I had one person and it was wait a minute.
Thank you again for listening to the Spirit Talk Podcast. Once again, I am your host, Michael L. Pearson. I am an ordained minister, a Christian counselor and therapist serving the kingdom of God in the areas of narcissistic abuse recovery, marriage counseling, and family counseling. Once again, I thank you for joining in today, and we look forward to hearing from you again next time on the Spirit Talk Podcast.